Welcome to the podcast of Life Change Church, where we exist to love people to life change. We hope that this podcast is both challenging and encouraging to you. Enjoy the message.
All right, well, good morning and again, welcome. Am I on? Yes. Good morning and welcome. We're excited you are here today. Again, as Randy said, if you're first time here, we take that very seriously. So we have a gift for you. We'd love to get that in your hands. And exciting times as we are celebrating Easter around here. Today is the big day. So we're doing our 10,000 Easter egg hunts today at 1 o'clock at Vibrant Life Church, which is a church that we'll be launching, and they'll be starting in September. But this is really the first big community event for that. And so, again, that's at 1 o'clock today at 858 Garfield Avenue. And if you were going to help serve, all setup starts at about 11:30, and so you're more than welcome to jump over there really after this service. And I will say this, there will be a shuttle for people if you want to park at the Lookup Center. There'll be a shuttle. It'll be a black Honda Pilot. Look for that. And a white-haired guy named Pastor Charlie. He'll drive you from there to there, or you're more than welcome just to park at the space as well. But just kind of a heads up on that as well. And it's going to be amazing. And again, this is all leading up to next week where we are celebrating Easter. And we're celebrating the resurrection of Christ. And so next week, we're going to go four services, 7 a.m., 8:30, 9:45, and 11. And I'm pretty sure I got those right. But I'm going to be here real early. But those are four services. So again, we're trying to make space so that we can share and so you can invite people in and bring more people in to hear the good news, to hear the gospel of Christ. But I'm excited today as we are concluding a series that we've been in for the last several weeks, a series entitled You Are. And so again, in this series, what we've done is we've looked at some of these "you are" statements that we see in Scripture. And you remember Pastor Darrell from Vibrant Life, he actually started this off, and he talked about how you are forgiven. Then last week, we jumped in and we talked about how you are called. And again, those are some powerful words, right? Those are some powerful statements. And if you look at it, those are statements that I think that we hold on to. Those are statements that stick to us. And there's some pretty encouraging statements. But the truth is, we've probably also heard some "you are" statements that are a little discouraging. We probably heard some "you are" statements that maybe left us not feeling the greatest. I mean, think about it. How many of you have ever just before you felt kind of like you are unwanted? Right? Anybody? Right? Maybe that you're unwelcome. Maybe even that you're uninvited. I think this is a feeling that many of us we've had before. Right? This is the times we've gone through life where maybe we felt even rejected. Listen, I know for me, I played basketball in school, and I remember I got cut from the school basketball team. What did I hear? I heard, "You are rejected." That was a tough time, so I had to take my talents to the police athletic league, and well, they didn't really go any much further than that, just so you know. Right? It was a tough time. So again, you do that, and there's sometimes we feel certain things. There's times we feel like maybe we're not invited. Right? Sometimes I think we even scroll through Facebook, and we can look through, and we can see all our friends hanging out. We're like, wait a second, how come I'm not there? And it leaves us with that feeling of being uninvited. There's times, too, where we just feel like we're unwelcome, or we're maybe even uncomfortable in certain situations, right? We walk into things, and we're like, oh, you know what? This isn't normal. Right? I think sometimes we feel that way. Listen, about a couple months ago, actually, I was in Arizona, and I was doing a pastor's retreat, helping coach church planters. And I remember going there, and then afterwards, after we did the conference, we all went out to eat together. And like the place we went, I just felt completely just kind of out of the normal there. All right, so we went to the super like hipster restaurant. And if you know me, I'm like pretty plain Jane, like I'm a pretty normal guy. And so like we went to this hipster restaurant where like part of the restaurant was actually outdoors and part of it was indoors, but it was all mixed together. And it was like, there was all these different things. They didn't have tables. You went and you like just sat on couches and like in circles. It was like, I'm like, wait a second. No, I need like a plate. I need a fork. I need a knife. And I need a table to sit at. Right? It just felt weird. And I'm walking in and I actually walked in a little bit late. And so they're all hanging around couches and like, I'm not the smallest guy. And so I'm like, and there's like this little spot. And I'm like, me? And then I'm eating my food all weird. Like, dude, it wasn't comfortable. And then I'm sitting with him. And again, these are all like young hipster, kind of like you, like pastors from all around the nation. And I'm sitting there and they're like talking about these things. And it was like things that I'd experienced like 10 years ago because they're newer to this. I'm like, oh no, I'm the old dude. Like, it was that realization that like, I'm kind of left out, Right? I feel kind of unwanted. I kind of feel I'm invited, but I feel uninvited. I had this feeling because I didn't necessarily fit in. And listen, I think sometimes this is how we feel. Right? For some of us, man, we've had this feeling. And this is a terrible feeling. Right? These are some of the worst feelings that we can have. But chances are we've all been there before. And here's what's crazy. Many of us, we've even been there in church before. We've been there in our relationship with God before, where we walked in and we just felt unwelcome. We walked in and maybe felt just a little bit uninvited. We walked in and we felt like we just didn't quite fit in. Right? This is a feeling we've all had. Listen, I've talked to many people and they're like, listen, I'll go to your church, but like, I hope you don't like it because it's going to get struck by lightning. I've talked to many people like that. And I'm like, don't worry. You should see the people at our church. It won't get struck by lightning. And no, I'm just joking. Right? But we've walked in, and I think sometimes we walk in, and what do? We feel judgment from people, and we've probably experienced it. Hopefully, you haven't experienced it in this church, but you may have. And listen, I'm sorry, but this is what we feel. And sometimes we bring it on ourselves. Sometimes we walk in, and we have this feeling, really with our relationship with God, we have this feeling we're walking in and feel uninvited because we're carrying this guilt. We're carrying this shame. We're carrying this condemnation, and we hold on to it. And listen, many of us, we've probably all been there because this is actually what sin does. Just so you know, everybody in this room has sinned. Just throw it out there. And what sin does is it separates us from God. It separates us from God. And what Satan will do is he'll use that to condemn us. He'll use that to give us shame. He'll use that to give us guilt and to be burdened with that. And so much so that we carry it, that we have this feeling of being unwanted. Sin separates us from God. And it results in us feeling unwanted, unwelcome, uninvited, and even rejected. But here's the good news. Sin separated us from God, but God sent his son to die on a cross and be risen again so that we could be connected back with him. God sent his son, Jesus, to live a perfect life, die on a cross, and be risen again so that we could hear the words, "You are invited." And here's what I want us to understand today. No matter how you walked in here today, maybe you're walking in and you have this feeling of rejection. Maybe you're walking in and you have this feeling of being unwelcome and unwanted and uninvited. I want you to hear today that Jesus invites you. In fact, if you look at it, Jesus invites, he invites the people others reject because it's who he is. It's what he does. And he invites each and every one of us. Truth is, every one of us, we've been rejected. We felt rejected. It's who we are. I felt that way, but yet Jesus still invites me. You felt that way, but Jesus still invites you. No matter what you've done, no matter your past, no matter your social status, no matter your economical status, no matter if you're young, old, no matter what, you are still invited because of Jesus, because of the work of the cross, because of who he is. Jesus invites the people others reject. And we see an incredible story of this in Luke chapter 7. We're going to jump around to a couple Bible stories today, but we'll start at Luke chapter 7. So if you have your Bibles, you can go there with me. Again, if you don't have a Bible, we always challenge you to download the YouVersion Bible app. Incredible resource to read the Bible every single day, which we want you to do. But also, it's cool. It actually has our notes on it that you can follow along today as well. But in Luke chapter 7, let me just give you a little bit of context of what's happening here. Here's Jesus, and he's kind of at the beginning of his ministry. At this point, he had assembled his disciples together. He was preaching. He was teaching. He had done a couple healings and miracles. He was starting to kind of throw out the truth of who he was, talking about the Son of God. And so what people were doing, they began to kind of question him. Right? He was setting some people a little bit off and a little bit uneasy. Right? For them, they were kind of seeing the authenticity, the validity of who Jesus was. Because here's this guy. He says he's the Son of God. For some people, man, they kind of thought he was a little bit crazy. And so they were testing the waters. And the people that they would use and that they would refer to would be the religious leaders at this time. And the religious leaders at this time, they were a group known as the Pharisees. And so the Pharisees were, like, these were like the super religious. They would try to do anything to impress others with their following of the rules, with their following of the laws. Like, they would do all these things. In fact, they would wear, like, this ornate robes. They would make these crazy big ceremonies to show just how spiritual they really were. And this is what they were all about. And they would never do anything to appear anything but religious. They wouldn't even hang out with anyone unclean. They wouldn't hang out with anyone that was considered a sinner. And so One day, there's this Pharisee who's named Simon, and he was throwing a party, and he invited Jesus to this party. Now, just so you know, a Pharisee party is a little different than a party we may experience, right? A Pharisee party was more like a time to show off. And a Pharisee party was like this religious competition. They would gather the who's who's of the Pharisees, and they'd come together, and they would try to out-impress each other, right? They'd try to outdo each other in this knowledge that they would have and the rules and the regulations and all these things. And what was crazy is that they would do their party, they would do it on like the outside room so that others could hear. Right? Others weren't invited, but the town people would come around, and they'd be in this outside room, and they'd be sharing all this knowledge, trying to impress everybody. You're thinking like, why would anybody go listen to that? Like, that sounds crazy. But this is like before the Facebook reels. This is before YouTube. So this was their Facebook. Like, they come there. Hey, did you hear what Pharisee Bob said? There's no Pharisee Bob, but right, this is what they did. And so in this passage, you see Jesus get invited to one of these parties. Check this out. Luke chapter 7, verse 36. It says, when one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him, he went to the Pharisee's house and he reclined at the table. So here's Jesus. Gets invited to this party, goes there, and he's just chilling there. He's reclining at the table. He's ready for this. But check out what happens next. Verse 37 goes on. It says, a woman in that town who lived a sinful life learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house. So she came there with an alabaster jar of perfume. So here's Jesus. He's chilling at this party, and then in walks this lady. And this isn't just any lady. And when you look at this, and it says this woman is in the town who lived a sinful life, this is code language for the town prostitute, right? So this is out there. And so, like, imagine this. Here they are. They're hanging out in this outer room. They're trying to show off their theological skills. I mean, they're talking pneumatology. They're talking eschatologies. They're talking all theologies. And then, here you go. They're trying to press each other. And then you have this hooker that walks in. I don't know if I can say hooker, but I did in first service. I did in second service. I'll go for third service, too. This is not normal. And this is not a normal situation. Right? The Pharisees are probably thinking like, whoa, like, lady, like, we don't associate with people. Like, I can only imagine what they're going through. Right? Here's this lady, she's unworthy. Here's this lady, she's unclean. Here's this lady, she's uninvited, and she walks in. And listen, she had to feel this as well. I'm sure that you could just cut the tension with a knife in that room. If you look at it, all the eyes had to be on her. And I'm sure some of the Pharisees, man, I'm sure they were throwing daggers with eyes. Right? You can only imagine the judgment that they're giving, right? And she had to know this. And she had to know this even walking in that she was going to feel this way. She felt just like many of us felt. She felt rejected. She felt unwanted. She felt uninvited because the truth is she was. But she still shows up and she follows Jesus and she follows him with this jar of perfume. And then she dashes right to Jesus and falls on her knees and begin to worship. Right, she breaks open the perfume and she pours it on Jesus' feet. All right, check this out. We go on verse 38. It says, as she stood behind him at his feet weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured perfume on them. Here's this woman, broken. Here's this woman who felt completely messed up. She was uninvited, and all she could do was cry at the feet of Jesus. And she cried so much that his feet began to get wet. So what'd she do? She wiped his feet with her hair. This is not normal in today's world. This was definitely crazy back in that time, right? This is not something that would normally happen. In fact, a Jewish woman would never unbind her hair in public. But here's this woman overcome with emotion, worshiping Jesus, and she begins to cry so much so that there's wet. And she's like, oh my goodness, what do I do? So she unbinds her hair and wipes his feet with her hair. This is crazy and it's powerful, but what it is, it's this incredible picture of worship. It's this incredible picture of honor. It's this incredible picture of value. This woman is valuing, honoring, and worshiping Jesus. And if you look at it, the perfume, this most likely was her most valuable possession. Right? This is something that many people, perfume was something that many people couldn't afford. In fact, if you look at it, they said that this would probably be equivalent to about a year's worth of wages. So if you look at it, this woman is bringing everything to Jesus. This is her nest egg. Right? This is her entire savings, and she's bringing it to the feet of Jesus. But not only that, this is also her way of living. See, as a prostitute, what she would do is she should put the perfume on, and it would symbolize that she is available. She would use it to induce and to entice and seduce other men, saying, here, I'm available. And what she's doing is she's bringing to Jesus, pouring it at his feet, saying, here, everything I have is yours. It was this ultimate symbol of repentance as well. It was a big deal. And it was showing that she was accepting Jesus and she wanted the life change that only he could give. She was giving up everything. Basically, what she's saying is everything I have, it's here. It's at your feet. Right, this is an incredible act. Obviously, though, the Pharisees didn't see it this way. Right, the Pharisees were still caught up in the fact that she was even in there. They were caught up in the fact that she wasn't supposed to be. She showed up uninvited. And they saw this all as pretty messed up. In fact, if you continue on verse 39, it says this. It says, when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, if this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of woman she is, that she is a sinner. I said, man, they could not only stand the fact that Jesus is here allowing, like, and this woman's there, they couldn't stand the fact that Jesus was even allowing this. Again, they were questioning Jesus already. And so when they see this, Simon's like, yeah, this guy is not the Son of God. Like, the red flags are going like, no, big negative here. They're calling it for what they thought it was. But they didn't really even say it out loud, though. He kind of murmured it under his breath. So here's what Jesus does. He's like, yeah, you say I'm not a prophecy. You say I'm not a son of God. You say I'm not this. Yeah, watch this. He reads his mind, and then he answers back and says this in verse 40. It says, Jesus answered him, Simon, I have something to tell you. Tell me, teacher, he said. Two people owe money to a certain moneylender. One owed him 500 denarii and the other 50. Neither of them had the money to pay him back. So he forgave the debts of both. Now, which one of them will he love more? And Simon replied, I suppose the one who had the bigger debt forgiven. You have judged correctly, Jesus said. Here's Jesus, and he read Simon's mind. He's like thinking like, yeah, you're saying I'm not the Son of God. You think I'm not a prophet. Watch this. And he gives him this incredible parable talking about how great forgiveness is. Again, we started the series off talking about how you are forgiven. And so here's what Jesus says. He says, she is forgiven. And because of that, she's invited as well. And then Jesus gives this lesson, and then he goes one step further, and he actually forgives the woman, all while at the same time, right, throwing some shade to the Pharisees as well. Verse 44 goes on, and then it says, then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, do you see this woman? I came into your house. You did not give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman from the time I entered has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven as her great love has shown. But whoever has been forgiven little loves little. Then Jesus said to her, your sins are forgiven. The other guests began to say among themselves, who is this who even forgives sins? And Jesus said to the woman, your faith has been saved. As your faith has saved you, go in peace. Here's Jesus, man. He's just dropping truth bombs left and right. He tells this woman that she's forgiven. And because of that, she's invited. Because of that, she's invited. He invites us. He invites you. And that's the message. Right? Jesus' message to each and every one of us is that you are invited. What's crazy about this story is if you look at it, you're thinking like, why would this woman do this? Right? Why would this woman walk into this situation? Why would this woman, knowing that the Pharisees are going to judge her, knowing what she's going to go through, knowing that she's going to be ridiculed, knowing that she's going to feel the feeling of rejection, why would she even do this? The answer, I think, is this, is because she knew that she was invited before she even walked in. Right? In fact, if you dig into this story, there's a parallel to this story in Matthew chapter 11. And you see in Matthew chapter 11, right, before this actually happens, before he goes and hangs out in the Pharisees and goes to the party, before that, during the same day, Jesus was out and he was preaching, and he was preaching to John the Baptist's followers who decided to question him. And he says this in the middle of a sermon in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 through 30. He says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Jesus preached this the same day that he went to that party. And chances are this woman was probably in the crowd there, and she heard this, and she's like, I'm going to follow him. I'm going to show up. Why? Because he says, come to me. Come to me, all who are weary. Come to me, all who are burdened. She heard him say, you are invited. And listen, I want you to hear that today as well. So no matter how you walked in here, if you felt rejected, if you felt like your sin is too much and it's separating you from God, if you felt the guilt and shame and the condemnation weighing on your shoulders, I want you to understand that you are still invited because of Jesus. We are invited to the family of God, right? We are invited to the family of God because of the work of Jesus on the cross. Right? This is Palm Sunday. As we go into this, we're celebrating the week of Easter, right? This is the time where everything happens. On Friday, Jesus is going to die on a cross. He's going to pay the ultimate penalty for our sins. He's going to pay for everything that we've done, everything that's separating from us from God. And then next Sunday, we're going to come back together. And we're going to celebrate the fact that he went to the tomb, but he left the tomb, and he left it empty. But here's what he's asking us. He's asking us to come to the foot of the cross because of the work of Jesus. And when we come to the foot of the cross, we realize the invitation and how powerful it is. And here's why I know we are all equal at the foot of the cross. We're all equal at the foot of the cross. His death was payment for each and every one of our sins. And it was enough. It was enough for us to hear that you are invited. You are welcome. So come. Come as you are. Come weary and burdened. And he will give you rest. Understand this. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter what you've gone through. It doesn't matter if you doubted God. It doesn't matter if you questioned God. It doesn't matter if you're still in the middle of it. It doesn't matter if you failed and failed again. It doesn't matter if you have addictions. It doesn't matter if you have baggage. We all have baggage, and we're all equal at the foot of the cross. And he's still saying to each and every one of us, come to me, all you who are burdened and weary. Right? You are invited. Here's why I know. Jesus didn't come just for the healthy. He came for the sick. He didn't come for the self-righteous. He came for the hurting. He came for the broken. He came for the repentant sinners, which we need to be. You are invited, and you're welcome to be a part of the family of God because it's who Jesus is and it's what he does. He invites the people others reject. You are invited. But understand this. What we do with this invitation makes a difference. What we do with this invitation is so important. Right, we need to take these words seriously, and we need to actually respond to them. Right, here's Jesus, and he's telling us that we're welcome. He's telling us to come to him, all who are weary, all who are burdened. Right, he's telling us this, and we look at it and like, yeah, that seems great. That's awesome. We should go do that. We'll do it when we want to. But later in his life, Jesus starts to see this, and he starts to get a little bit more serious about this, and he actually shares this parable about how important it is to respond and to respond correctly. In fact, if you look at it in Matthew chapter 22, we see this parable of the banquet, and it says this, Matthew chapter 22, 1 through 14. It says, Jesus spoke to them again in parables, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who prepared a banquet for his son. He sent his servants to those who had been invited to the banquet to tell them to come, but they refused to come. Then he sent some more servants and said, tell those who have been invited that I prepared my dinner. My oxen and fattened cattle have been butchered and everything is ready. Come to my wedding banquet. But they paid no attention and went off, one to his field, another to his business. The rest seized his servants, mistreated them, and killed them. The king was enraged. He sent his army and destroyed those murderers and burned their city. Then he said to his servants, the wedding banquet is ready, but those I invited did not deserve to come. So go to the street corners and invite the banquet, anyone you find. So the servants went out to the streets and gathered all the people they could find, the bad as well as the good. And the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came to see the guest, he noticed a man there who was not wearing wedding clothes. And he asked, how did you get in here without wedding clothes? The man was speechless. Then the king told the attendants, tie him hand and foot and throw him outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are invited, but few are chosen. Look at this. Here's Jesus, and this is the parable of Sheng. And if you look at this, it's pretty harsh. I mean, this is pretty scary. Yeah, we're encouraged that we're invited, but then Jesus comes back and he says this. What he's doing, he's warning us of how we respond to those words. He's warning us to respond and to respond the right way. And he's warning us first to accept the invitation and then accept it with all our hearts. Listen, my challenge for you, I want you to hear the words, you are invited, but I want you to accept the invitation. Right, don't just hear the words, act upon them, accept the invitation. Right, we can't make excuses.
If you look at it, man, the parable had all these people making excuses, and it didn't end well. And listen, the truth is sometimes I think we do the same thing. Right, we look at a relationship with God as kind of something we put on the back burner. Like, it's something I'll really focus in later. But right now, I'm just really into my career. All right, so I'll get to that later. Or right now, I'm just really busy in life. So I'll get to that later. Listen, look at the parable. It didn't end well for those that did that, right? We need to accept them, and we need to accept them now. It's not something we can do later. We have to accept the invitation, and we have to accept it in the right way. Again, if you look at it too, it talks about how one man came and he didn't come in the wedding banquet clothes. Listen, we need to understand that when God is inviting us, he's giving his son for us, we need to come to him, making him the Lord of all. Because if we don't, it's not going to end well, just like the person who came to the wedding without wedding clothes. It's that serious. We have to accept the invitation. Jesus lived a perfect life, died on a cross, and then was risen again so that we could accept him and give him our life. Move our life towards him and say yes and yes and yes and yes again. That's what it's all about. And Romans 10:9 says this. It says, if you declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord. He's got to be Lord of all. If you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Our calling is to accept the invitation. And when we do, that's truly what changes us. Again, if you look at this, the prostitute woman, right, she accepted the invitation. Why? Because she knew who Jesus was and what happened. Her life was changed. We need to do the same. Accept the invitation and let it change you. And then we also need to extend the invitation. Don't just accept the invitation, but extend the invitation as well. And when you come, don't come alone. And we need to share the good news. We need to share it with others. And here's the truth. You're not the only one that's ever felt rejected. You're not the only one that's ever felt left out. You're not the only one that's ever felt uninvited. In fact, when I asked that in the beginning, many hands raised up. Many eyes looked at me and said, yeah, I felt that way before. And here's what I know. It doesn't just end in this room. You have family members. You have coworkers. You have neighbors who have felt left out. You have co-neighbors. We have friends that have felt uninvited, and they're waiting for the invitation. They're waiting to hear it, and we're called to extend the invitation. And it's to everyone. It's to everyone. Again, if you look at this parable, Jesus talks about the king. He said he sent his servants out to invite others. The good and the bad. Another cross reference talks about how he invited the blind, the lame, and the crippled to this. And that was a big deal. Why? Because most times at this time and frame, people didn't even talk to him. But Jesus is saying it's for everyone. Everyone is invited. Everyone needs to feel his love. Everyone needs to feel his grace. Everyone needs to feel his freedom. So extend the invite. In fact, if you look at it, Jesus even reiterated this in his last words right before he ascended to heaven. It's a part of scripture known as the Great Commission in Matthew chapter 28:19. It says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. We're called to extend the invite. And this week, my challenge is that you do just that. Again, next week's Easter. We have 4 services. We're expanding this so there's more room. We want you to invite people. In fact, you look at it, most seats have an invite card underneath their seat. I would challenge you to take that invite card with you and give it to somebody. Right, give it to a family member. Give it to a coworker. Give it to somebody that you feel like that you want to invite to church. Because you're inviting them more than church. You're inviting them to hear the gospel of Jesus. Right, next week, I'm going to preach the Easter story. I'm going to preach that the tomb is empty. Here's what I know. Those that feel lonely, those that feel uninvited, those that feel unwanted, they need to know that the tomb is empty so that they can be connected back to their Heavenly Father. Right? So extend the invite. Right? Jesus invites the people others reject. And I want you to understand, you are invited. So accept the invitation. You're invited, so accept the invitation, and others are invited as well. So extend the invitation. Listen, as we close right now, I want to give you that opportunity. I want to give the opportunity to respond. And maybe for you, maybe you're here today. And maybe as you hear the words, you are invited, your first step is to accept that invitation. Right? maybe here today, and maybe you've never made a decision to follow Jesus, or maybe you did, but you walked away. Listen, I want to give you that opportunity. And what you can do is you can pull out the seat, the connection card in the seat back in front of you, and you'll see that there's a first box that says, I want to commit my life to Jesus. If that's you right now, accept the invitation. Maybe for you, maybe there's somebody that you need to extend the invitation to. Maybe God's asking you to extend that invitation. Right? Maybe it's a family member. Maybe it's a coworker. Maybe it's a friend. Listen, I challenge you to write that down on that connection card and then turn that in. And what I'm going to do is I promise I will be praying with you for that person this week. All right, this is Easter week. This is a week where people will say yes if you invite them. But here's what I know. With it backed with the power of prayer and the chance to say yes and to change somebody else's world because of the love of Jesus is so much greater. So I challenge you to write that name down. Maybe there's somebody that you were already thinking of when I was preaching. When I was talking, somebody came in your mind like, I need to extend the invite to them. Write it down and then extend the invite this week. I challenge you to take the next step and respond to the words, you are invited. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, God, we thank you right now. We thank you for those powerful words that you have told us. God, you said you are invited to each and every one of us. No matter what we're gone through, no matter how we're feeling, no matter what struggle we're in, God, you said you are invited because of the work of Jesus. God, we thank you right now for that. God, we thank you for the one that maybe is making a decision to follow you, to accept that invitation. God, we pray right now that you give them the freedom that comes from you. God, we pray that you'll forgive them of their sins, help them to walk away. God, help them to make them their Lord and Savior, and help them forever be changed because of your power. And God, we pray that you go with us this week as maybe you're calling us to invite others. God, I pray that you will set up conversations in just an incredible way. God, I pray that it comes so naturally, God, that the invite's almost easy, God. I pray that you just set those up perfectly, God, and let us take advantage of it and walk through the doors that you open for us to invite others and extend the invite. God, right now, we just give this time to you as we respond and just ask you to bless it and help it not just to be words, but help it to be a way of life. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Life Change Church podcast. If you are here today and you're listening and you made a decision to follow Christ, we would love to hear about it. Or maybe you're here and you're listening and that God is asking you to make the next step with whatever that it is in your life. We would love to hear about it and partner up with you. And let us know if you made a decision to follow Christ. Let us know what God is asking of you. And if you need prayer, we would love to partner up with you in prayer as well. We hope that you enjoyed the podcast and that it both encouraged and challenged you. Have a great week.